Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
With us on the line now from the States, I believe, is Vivek Shara, whose book People Change is a guide to celebrating our many selves and the inspiration to discover who will become next. We change our haircuts and our outfits and our minds. We change names, titles, labels. We attempt to blend in or stand out. We outgrow relationships. We abandon dreams for new ones. We start afresh. Sounds good to me. Welcome to the show, Vivek.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. And what a great concept, People Change. That's the title of your book. What was the kind of thought process behind the book and the title?
Well, thanks so much for saying that. First of all, the book actually started as a different project. I mean, as a lot of art tends to. It was actually going to be called Armor, and it was going to be about me exploring sort of the way in which feminine people, gender nonconforming people, trans people use clothing and the way we dress ourselves as armor. But the more I started digging into this idea, the more I realized that the external change of putting on clothes or what we wear is actually only one fraction of the conversation around change. And so it became a broader exploration of the relationship between external change and internal change. Yeah.
Because some people don't like change, do they? Some people find it very difficult to, whether it's to do with themselves changing, whether the world around them is changing, whether it's other people changing. Some people just find the whole concept of change really difficult.
It's true. And I think one of the things that I started to realize once I, to use a pandemic word, pivoted to this idea of thinking about change broadly, I realized how much I'm not that person. I'm someone who my whole life has welcomed change or has been excited about change. And I think a part of that, a big part of why that is because I think that growth and change can be the cause for the greatest joy of life, essentially. And so the book is really an invitation for people to think about how change isn't something to be feel resigned to or to be afraid, but to like run to change, to welcome change.
Absolutely. I played a bit of Madonna there, Express Yourself.
I heard.
Because it made me smile reading that you were looking at some of your childhood influences when putting the book together, and you say, some of your childhood influences from Hinduism to Madonna, which made me smile.
Yeah, no, the book specifically. So, I mean, it's changed broadly, but like more specifically, the book really looks at reinvention or this idea of reinvention. And of course, Madonna is known as, you know, the queen of reinvention. And I talk about in the book how the first time I even heard of the word reinvention was I was like a teenager and I was reading a review for her new album at the time. So this was Bedtime Stories a little bit later after Express Yourself. And I saw, you know, this word reinvention and in my mind, I was so fascinated by this word. And so I think I really credit her and the way that she's constantly reinvented herself as being a role model for me in thinking about reinvention.
I wanted to ask you about your book, the best-selling book, I'm Afraid of Men, which was heralded by Vanity Fair as cultural rocket fuel, which is fabulous.
That's a nice quote.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So tell us what the book is about.
So that book came out a few years ago, and I wrote it during Me Too. And, you know, so much of what was happening during Me Too, these were such important conversations that were happening, but they were largely centering a particular kind of perspective or voice. So many of the women that came forward and so many of the women that were getting attention with their stories, which again were so important, but they were largely white cis women. And I thought it would be really important to give a different perspective on the conversation of masculinity and Me Too. And so I wrote this book, I'm Afraid of Men, to sort of, you know, especially for someone like me who was raised as a boy and now identify as trans, like I feel like I've really experienced gender from every perspective. And so I thought I had kind of a unique take on thinking about masculinity in the context of the world.
Yeah, amazing. So understandably, it did really well then. I guess lots of people were able to relate to your story, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, for me, one of the things that's really exciting about the book is that, you know, I think one of the things I've always heard, especially as a marginalized person, is that my work is niche. You know, like if you write queer stories, if you write racialized stories, if you write trans stories, they're niche. And I've always pushed against that because, like, I have no problem as a brown person enjoying white artists like Madonna. You know, yeah. Like you don't have to be someone's identity to understand their story or connect to their story. That's the beauty of storytelling. And so for me, it was really exciting actually to see this book, which in the past, I think some people might have called a niche book because it was written by a trans person of color, to see it become a bestseller, to see, you know, the Vanity Fair response, because there's like, see, a good story is a good story. It's not necessarily any more or less niche. And I think one of the appeals of the book is, you know, the title. You know, I think it's one of those things where people were really interested in like what I had to say. But I think, again, I really tried to take a multi-lens perspective to thinking about masculinity. You know, I think a lot of the assumptions when people read that title, they think, oh, this is going to be another like male bashing book or something like that. And that's not what the book is at all. Like, I think for me, one of the interesting tensions about thinking about masculinity is also being queer and actually desiring men. So, you know, what does it mean to both fear men, but also desire men? And so the book has this, you know, like I said, it offers a multi-lens perspective on masculinity and thinking about these issues as opposed to just being a one-sided argument about how men are awful or whatever, because I think that that's in a lot of ways just like an easy and lazy argument.
Yeah, yeah. So looking at the new book then, who would you say you've written it for, People Change?
People Change. Well, I mean, I think part of, you know, again, to talk about the title a little bit, I think that, you know, the never ending conversation around change is like, do we change or some things never change or people never change? And I really wanted to, I think maybe because I wrote it largely at the beginning of the pandemic, I think I needed to write something hopeful. And so I liked the idea of asserting that people do in fact change. And I've written this book, I think, you know, to inspire people, like I said, to embrace change, for those people that are afraid of change. And then also for, you know, like pop culture lovers, you know, like I talk about, you know, I'm a 90s kid. So there's some Madonna in there and Sister Act and Mrs. Doubtfire and Smashing Pumpkins. And, you know, so if people like that stuff, there's a lot of that as well. And it's also very readable. You know, it's one of those, I don't know about everybody else. I don't know how people are reading big novels right now, but I find that my brain capacity is very, very little right now. And so it's been nice. The early response to the book is, some people have said, you know, I sat down and I read it from beginning to end. And I think it's because it's very like readable and accessible. So if you're looking for something so you can put on your list that you read one book in 2022, I think People Change can be that book for you.
Brilliant. And have you always embraced change? I mean, has it been, I'm sure you've had lots of difficulties in your life embracing change, being a trans person, or has it always come quite naturally to you, would you say?
You know, the hardest thing about embracing change and reinventing myself is less about me accepting it or embracing it. Like, I think those things come very instinctively. I'm very excited by the possibility of a different version of myself, or finding a different version of myself, or revealing a different person of myself. I think the biggest difficulty is the way that reinvention or change is ultimately always tied to someone else. I talk about in the book how reinvention is relational. It's like, you know, to use my transness as an example, like my pronouns, I never have to use my pronouns. I never have to refer to myself as she and her. But, you know, coming out as trans, I rely on other people to see me, to use my right pronouns. You know, so I think that that's one of the hard things about change, is that you can change all you want, but ultimately, to have your change be seen and recognized and held, you really, really depend on the people around you. And so in the book, I talk about the ways in which change can be complicated, and especially in the context of long-term friendships, you know, because I think friends want you to be on some level consistent, to be the person they recognize. And anytime I've tried to make changes in my life, I have lost friends along the way, because I do think it can be hard. So, yeah.
Do you think people are generally respectful and interested to kind of ask questions to make sure they understand the pronouns and how people are supposed to relate and refer in, you know, the words that they're supposed to use and everything. Because a lot of people sort of don't get it, but are people kind of respectful and ask the right questions, do you think, in general?
Yeah. I think for the most part, people are like well-intentioned and like want to do better and want to learn. And, you know, the thing I always say is that you don't need to understand. I think we put a lot of emphasis on understanding and people are like, I just want to understand. And it's like, well, actually, you don't need to understand my difference. In a lot of ways, you will never understand my difference and who I am. But that doesn't mean you can't be respectful. That doesn't mean you can't be loving. That doesn't mean you can't be supportive, right? So I think in some ways, we almost need to like do away with this idea that with difference, you need to understand. It's like your job as another person isn't to understand me, but it's still to support me and respect me.
Yeah. Nicely put. And you're currently adapting your debut play, How to Fail as a Pop Star. Another great title. Tell me more.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that I, you know, I actually got into the arts world as wanting to be a pop star. And I mean, again, Madonna, huge inspiration. And so for the first half of my career, I was very focused on that. I wasn't writing or anything like that. I was very much a one trick pony, a musician. And, you know, it didn't work out for me in the way that I wanted. And I was really inspired to tell a different kind of story. I think there's this idea that we like to tell that, like, to be successful, it means hard work, it means talent, it means knowing the right people. But I think for every success story that we hear that are based on those parameters, there's thousands of people who know the right people, who might be talented, who are in the right place at the right time, and it just doesn't work out. And I think especially with social media, we place so much emphasis on the success story, on our highlight reel. And I wanted to talk about, like, I wanted people to have this space to actually say, hey, I worked really hard on something and it didn't work out. And so I decided to tell my story of not succeeding. You know, I joke that it's called A Star Isn't Born as a play. And it's been really exciting to see the response here because, you know, I did it. I feel like I was one of the few people on the planet that got to do a play in 2020, right before all the lockdowns. And we're supposed to do it again in Vancouver up here in Canada in a few weeks. And then we've gotten some international interest. And then we're looking into developing it into a TV show in Canada as well. So fingers crossed.
Oh, exciting. Oh, well, good luck with all of that. In the meantime, if people want to get a copy of the book, it's called People Change and it's by Vivek Schreier, who we've been chatting with. Vivek, thanks so much for joining us and good luck with it all.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so nice.